Can everyone hear me okay? It's wonderful to have the slot right after lunch. Got to keep everybody awake and energized, so I try to just speak louder. This is my first time speaking at an STM event, so a long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm actually not on the board. I'm the member of the Future Book Committee. I'm standing in for our president of electronic publishing, Olaf Ernst. But I'm also accompanied here today by Marika Stausch and Erica Vogt from Springer. And Marika is actually the global ebook marketing manager. So together we hope to answer your questions regarding the MyCopy program. Before I get started, can I just see by a quick show of hands, who already knows about MyCopy and what it is? Okay, I'd say about half. All right, then we'll try and go light on the discursive part of the discussion, and I really encourage any participation, any questions to have afterward. Since I don't get to come to many of these things, my brain-mouth filter is very weak, so it's your opportunity to wriggle out any information that you'd like. So I am the director of eProduct Development. I focus mainly on new product platforms like the Protocols platform, the newly launched Author Mapper and Springer Exemplar products. Very much experimental, very much dealing with new technology and how we take our content into the brave new world. What the MyCopy program is, for those of you who don't know, I'll talk a little bit about why Springer developed this particular product first, and then the details of it. But in a nutshell, MyCopy program is an incentive to purchase ebook packages by providing print-on-demand copies of those books which are purchased in an ebook package at a very standardized and low price point. Generally, the price point for every book in the program, and there are over 11,000, is $24.95 US dollars. This program was announced at the Frankfurt Book Fair last year, and it has been being piloted right now in the United States with about 12 institutions. I unfortunately can't share too much of the data because we're still in the early days of our testing. Not everyone started the test at the same time. But I'll explain a little bit about what our strategy was behind this and what it is. So this is the publishing output by content type. Four books from the main publishers from 2007. And you can see that Springer is in a relatively privileged position as being a large book publisher to be able to offer a large package product. And we recognize that this is not everyone's situation. But since we had a large grouping of content and we had made the commitment to digitize it all and not to do this piecemeal, I think Richard earlier spoke about the devil is in the details, and that sometimes it's not possible to offer global solutions to your customer base. We found that was definitely true, but we did it anyway. So we had to deal with a lot of exceptions and thing calls that came in about, do we have the right to do this book digitally? I'm not sure. But the strategy was go big and be consistent with your offering to the market. And we also, in order to be consistent, kept a lot of our DRM policies, archival policies, a lot of the features of our other successful online product line, the journals. So in a lot of ways, our policies about what should the ebook package and the ebook product look like was guided by our journal experience. And this is the result of having created a fairly significant ebook package. We now have over 30,000 ebooks. When we launched, we had 15,000, I believe, around that level. You can see the darker orange is 08, and the gray is 07. And very rapidly, the ebook downloads started to account for a significant portion of our total downloads. I think someone said it earlier before. In their first year, they accounted for 25% of all downloads, while accounting for something like 12%, maybe even 10% of all content. In their second year, they accounted for 15% of the content, and nearly 33% of all downloads. And we see no reason why this trend will not continue to go in that direction. This is when you compare the journal and the book downloads together, and you can see what is happening with our total download picture. There is immense cyclicalness. Yes, it's very cyclical. And you can see that the cyclicalness of it has been exaggerated by the addition of our book content. And that, to us, is we are interpreting that as probably due to the large amount of undergraduate usage that comes from reading a book which may be more boiled down, maybe more comprehensive in its view, and not necessarily as specific and as going as deep as a primary research. So it's definitely opened up a brand new audience base, you know, for us, and we've seen that reflected in our usage statistics. And in general, I think our library customers have been very happy with the, I think the term value for money was thrown around before, the value for money that they're getting from the ebook package. So what is my copy? My copy is a feature of Springer Link that we turn on when an institution purchases ebook packages. And we sell 13 different subject collections as well as the entire collection. So if you were to purchase the entire collection, and there's 30,000 books in there, those books in that collection, which are suitable for print-on-demand, and it's not every book, but those books which are in our print-on-demand program are then offered to the patrons of that institution at a standardized, fairly low, considering our traditional price points for monographs and textbooks and things, at a low price point directly to the patrons. So these are purchases done by credit card online. This is our only payment method. The book is printed on demand and sent out. Usually the recipient is, the book is shipped from the warehouse in 5 business days. Any questions about my copy? Sometimes it's difficult to explain all the details about it. Okay, that's my copy. You can see we advertise my copy on the right-hand side there with a little button. This button only appears if your institution has purchased an ebook package. It's not paid for. The service of having my copy is simply an additional feature of the ebook collection. By buying the ebook package, you are getting my copy. And then the individuals pay for the actual printing cost of the book. Okay? So I'm going to show you a couple of slides about how this process works. Please excuse our universally gray interface. This is going to be changing in the coming months, so keep your eyes peeled to SpringerLink. So there's our two advertisements for my copy. This is a book page, which lists all the chapters in a book. Once you've decided that you want to buy a my copy, you're taken first to an explanatory page. There's some frequently asked questions so that you can understand that this is a different product than the printed book in its traditional format. So we do try to, and this is one of the challenges of the program, make a differentiation between what you are getting when you buy $24.95 print on demand and what you are getting when you buy, you know, a higher price point reference work or monograph. So then I put this in my beautiful shopping cart, fill in my details. There is some restrictions here with the shipping. It's important to note that we do not have a global print-on-demand network in place yet, but we are fairly close. US is online, Europe is online. They're not connected with each other yet. Asia is coming online. So right now, all of our pilot programs, all of our pilot institutions for My Copy are in the United States. So we have some restrictions on where you can ship to. You pay. Look at that beautiful pay screen. Your confirmation page. And this is the strategic picture about how all the pieces fit together. Here is our slide showing all of our major stakeholders in this. There's Springer. That's a library on the bottom left. I'm not sure if yours looks like that. Users, and we have print-on-demand vendors. In this case, we've highlighted Lightning Source, but there can be multiple print-on-demand vendors that plug into the ordering system. So we activate the ebook, the My Copy feature, when the ebook package is purchased. The library then is providing a service to their end users to be able to access books more cheaply when they have a need for the print. So our general strategy is that we believe the online version is going to be the first value in the sense that it's findable, it's searchable, it's accessible. With Springer's ebook business model, we offer unlimited concurrent usage with no DRM. So we think that the first place you will find a Springer book is online. It's probably not going to be, you know, via the printed copy. Then the users have a economic transaction with Springer if they want a printed version. That is passed on to the printing vendor and delivered back to the user. And that process is, you know, over the years gotten very, very fast. When I first started in the publishing industry in 1997, we were doing print-on-demand only. Every book, there was never any copy made, but it took us 2 weeks to deliver. And now we're down to 5 days. I'm fairly sure in the future we'll get down to 2 or 3. Everyone has got an incentive. Amazon, all the printing-on-demand vendors, everyone wants to make sure that this process happens as quickly as possible so that they can keep selling print versions. And so do we. But that's the crux of where My Copy is delivering the value. We believe that it's valuable for our libraries who can deliver both formats to their users without having to account for the variety and the variable nature of the costs involved with the print. We believe the end users are getting value because they're getting access to two formats instead of one. And Springer's also getting value in the sense that this relationship is a direct relationship between us and our major customers. So what are we offering? There are about 11,000 books listed over which are suitable for print-on-demand. There are no German language books in the program due to the price book. What is it, Marika? Fixed price law for books. Presumably that's probably why we don't do it in France, besides the fact we don't have any French books. The print-on-demand versions of the My Copy books are always soft cover, not hardcover. The inside of the book is always in black and white, so even if the regular traditional printed book is in color, the My Copies right now are only in black and white. They are differentiated with a logo across the bottom, a white strip across the bottom that says this is a My Copy. You know, this is a different format, a different version than the traditional book. And they're sold for a universal price, which I have to applaud our senior management. Was a really bold choice to say, we don't want to get into the semantics of arguing the value of the content. You know, you want a book, we're going to give you a book. The variety, the variable cost involved in the paper is not so great as to merit the complexity involved in trying to manage different prices, which all somehow relate to some print price, which in the mind of the end user is not really an important factor anyway. So for them, we're trying to give them a standardized kind of value. That's what a My Copy book looks like with the white stripe across the bottom. I'm sorry I didn't have any physical copies to bring. And I'm very happy to take any questions that you have about the My Copy program or our ebook program as well. I mean, I'm sure Springer is a large provider of ebooks. We started with a fairly unique liberal business model. So any questions you have about anything regarding the ebook program or My Copy, I'm very happy to take. And Marika will assist me with answering.
One question regarding the semantics of valuing content. Is that direct end user feedback? Because in the tradition of scientific publishing, one thing that I'm from the Royal Society of Chemistry, one thing we hear from our members time and time again is that they are prepared to put the money in for reliable, high quality content, and they recognize the value of the content. And I think it's a wonderful program, it's very innovative. And my only concern is, are we devaluing some of the science, some of the technology, and some of the investment of top-level people that we're attracting to work on these types of publications?
That's a great point. Whenever you're going to level out anything like this, you're taking away all of those peaks and valleys that account for the price, quantity, you know, demand charts that every economist, you know, learns. So what we're doing is we're sacrificing some on the high end, and we're gaining some extra on the low end. It is really the goal of the program, not necessarily to try and set a price, a unique price for scientific content in general, but to just be consistent. So our main understanding about how our users were using the content was that they were going in, and I think this was also proven in the JISC studies, they were going in, they were finding little bits here, bits and pieces here, and a little piece here, and using a bit of a book at a time. And it was only in those scenarios where they really needed, you know, to read the entire book that they said, okay, I want to bite the bullet and buy the print. But our print prices, usually put those books out of the reach of an user. They were more consistent with the library, you know, budget. So this is an attempt to simply make the content more accessible and to keep the question about what is its inherent value out of the discussion, because we can't defend any position that we take there. Everyone's got, you know, a right to say that their content is valuable to some degree. So we would rather negotiate on the package price and say scientific content has a value, aggregate total is $2 million, thank you. That's not real.
Is largely targeted towards students. So what you were saying is more like the researcher, and of course also the students value it, but as we heard before, they're very cost conscious, they don't really have a lot of money, and even if they think the book might be worth $60, if they don't have them, that's the end of it. So that's also part of this strategy, I think.
The question was, if anyone didn't hear it, have we had comments from authors on royalties? Not being an editorial team, I can't speak for it, whether or not their response has been, you know, where's my money? But what I can tell you is that we do pay royalties on the MyCopy books. They are, of course, smaller because the price point is smaller. I don't know, maybe Marika has some other information because she deals more with the editorial team.
I mean, what our authors are most interested in is actually distribution. And if they know this is mainly a student tool, they'll be fairly happy with that reduced royalty they'll get by using this low price. So we haven't had an uproar amongst the authors against this in any way.
I think Aline had a question.
Just commenting that the reduced price on the print version is actually possible because presumably you're building in your value in the first purchase, which is the library purchase.
That's part of it, yeah.
I think it was Bernd was next. Yeah. That, okay, Martin.
Thank you. Martin Woodhead Publishing. The average price of those books might be, say, $80, $90, full price. Have you tried to measure the impact of the loss of income of those library sales?
Mm-hmm. Sure. You can imagine that this was quite heavily debated amongst our editorial team, especially those programs which have lower priced products to begin with, and they might face more price sensitivity. They might, you know, you might be transmitting someone who was going to pay 50 into someone who's going to pay 25. But I think Marika's point from before has really proven to be true as far as we can see from the data and the beta so far. We haven't seen any cannibalization. We haven't seen, as a matter of fact, a huge rush for students to buy cheap books. They apparently buy them, you know, only in the very rare instance that they actually need them. So we don't see it, and we believe since they serve two different markets, the MyCopy is essentially a high-class photocopy, and we might make it, you know, even higher class by adding color. You know, it's got a nice binding. It's a, you know, got a glossy cover, but essentially, what it competes with is the cost of photocopying the book. So, librarians, I don't think buy stuff on Spring & Link with a credit card, which is the only invoicing possibility for the MyCopy books. Although, if you want to, Kate, Jill. It's not hardcover, yeah.
But then again, the e-access is good. We'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know your name, but we have a question over there.
It's Antonio Seymour from Wiley. So do you see the next step that people, that the students would be able to slice and dice and choose this chapter and that chapter and check out with $24.99 for a selection of different chapters?
That's an interesting comment. I do believe that some of the players in the market are already providing that kind of functionality. I know O'Reilly led the way with their Safari U. I know my friend Emerson in the back here has a module for his Mark Logic server, which provides customization of the books. We already enable that in a sense by allowing the PDFs to be, you know, interchanged and mixed and put together. So if you wanted to, you could make a PDF document that was customized. I think the next step is simply to make it formalized. You know, provide a service, make it easy. You know, of course, it would have to have a charge on it for the printing, binding, and distribution. But it's only a technical difference whether you take a copy or pieces of a copy and put them together. There's some minimum page requirements, but I think it's as low as 80 pages, I think, for a print-on-demand book. And I think the upper limit is 600. So. Thanks for that idea, Antonia. I'll take that back to senior management and pretend it was mine.
Ryan, I had also a follow-on question regarding the revenues. Do you see that service is kind of a motivational factor for libraries, if you will? So do libraries buy more e-books and have the My Copy option versus those that don't?
Well, we're not exactly sure what the library reaction will be in terms of the dollars spent buying e-books, because we haven't rolled the program out. But the feedback that we've gotten from our partners is that they appreciate being able to simply deliver more value for their end users. And they also, in a way, remove some of the burden or some of the hassle involved in supplying a need, which if you wanted to take a book into your institution and put it in your OPAC and provide it on an ongoing basis, you have to worry about the quality and the longevity and the indexing and all that. And that might not be, there might be a floor beyond which that is not economic, and My Copy kind of takes up the layer underneath that. So you can still provide access to content, you know, fairly cheaply to your end users and your patrons without having to go through all the expense, and then you can save your expense for those books which you think merit it. Question?
Tim?
I'm sure with market research you've done, you know, you've gone to the libraries and you've gone to, you know, the patrons as well. Did you see it when you were asking what price would you pay for this type of service? Did you see a lot of different variations from, you know, students in the U.S., students in the U.K., students in Germany, you know, or I know it won't be going to Germany, but, you know, or in Asia? Was there any consideration in doing regional pricing on the end copies?
I can't speak to the market research point. Maybe Marika can. Okay. There's definitely regional pricing sensitivity. For example, $24.95 is still not cheap enough in India. They'll still buy the one off the street, you know, if someone is making a pirated copy of some of our monographs. So there is regional price sensitivity, and that $24.95 is intended to be for, you know, the Americas, and probably it will be a similar price point in Europe. Probably won't be the same in Asia and anywhere else we can ship and distribute books to. But I think another question that I heard in there was, when you're doing your market research, did you take into account what the users would pay? Essentially, no. We simply said, what's the lowest amount that we can do this for and still make money? Because we're competing against the photocopier. And we want to make sure that the price point is always attractive compared to that low-end solution. So it wasn't a desire to try and find the optimum level, you know, on the demand curve. It was simply, how low can we go? Great, lots of questions. I'm excited.
And we have time for one more before we move on to the next speaker. So, all right, over there.
Yvonne Rejan from Elsevier. I actually wanted to ask a question about the subject we were sort of talking before, DRM. And obviously for many of us it's a hot topic, and we know what our users want. It's just within companies it's obviously a hot topic. Within Springer, can I just, obviously I know the approach you've taken, how did you get to that point? I'm asking in terms of, was this a sort of the company-wide thought this was a great thing? You know, are there bodies hidden somewhere where people didn't agree? You know, I'm just sort of trying to find out. I'm not asking you to name names.
I can tell you that it was not, you know, a universal agreement about how to do this. But luckily, we did have a fairly strong senior management directive that in order to capture the market, in order to deliver on the value of selling in bulk, you know, what we really wanted to do was make everything else as easy as possible. So yes, you need to provide MARC records, so we had to take that cost on. You know, yes, you needed to provide the same reporting and statistics that you would provide for your other, you know, journal kind of packages. And since it's a logical continuation, yes, you need to provide the same end user experience. So we didn't think about a different format. You know, the journals were delivered in PDF, the books are delivered in PDF. You know, they are essentially the same format. We didn't think about, you know, what could we, should it be a plugin that we ask them to install that will allow DRM or will watermarking do it? You know, what do we do if someone breaks, you know, breaks the copyright? How, you know, how are we going to go after all these students? Should we sue them like the, you know, the recording industry? So very simply, you know, we had a directive from senior management that said the goal is very obvious. You know, the goal is to help this transition from print to electronic happen in a sustainable and profitable way. And everything else simply fell into place once the destination was determined.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Susanna.
Please join me in thanking Brian for his presentation.